I want to read some verses this morning from the prophecy of Zechariah and chapter 7. The prophecy of Zechariah and chapter 7. Last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. The one before it is Zechariah. Zechariah and chapter 7. And reading at verse 1, it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, when they had sent unto the house of God Sherezeger and Regemelech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts unto the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, unto the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow nor the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they led the pleasant land desolate. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his own inspired word. Dr. George Gallup Jr., president of the American Institute of Public Opinion, delivered an address at Princeton Theological Seminary in which he asked this question: is America's faith for real? Is America's faith for real? The same question could be asked in our country, possibly even in our churches today. Is our faith for real? Is our faith for real? When Jesus Christ was here on earth, one of the questions he had to deal with was the question of tradition. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus and said, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Jesus answered and said, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Tradition, as the Jews saw it, protected God's holy word and assisted his people in keeping it. But as the years passed by, their traditions produced some famous absurdities. For example, looking in the mirror was forbidden, lest you looked into the mirror on the Sabbath day and saw a gray hair. You might be tempted to pull it out and thus perform work on the Sabbath. That was a tradition that had become an absurdity. Why, when you look over a congregation, some of you have no bother when you look in the mirror, for there's no hair to pull anyone out of anyway. So you'll not break that tradition. Somehow I was reading recently where some rabbis debated about a man with a wooden leg. If his home caught fire, this was what they were debating. If his home caught fire, could he carry his wooden leg out of the house on the Sabbath? Warren Wiersbe makes a great statement. And he says, the danger of tradition is that it can easily turn into traditionalism. He said, tradition is the living faith of the dead, while traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. Traditionalism means going through the outward motion. It means participating in the religious event, but failing to have an inner spiritual experience. And when you begin to think of some of those tremendous truths, it makes you think, is our faith for real? Or do we come to a point where we go through all the outward motions, participating in all the religious events, but having no inner spiritual experience with the Lord? In the opening chapters of the prophecy of Zechariah, and Zechariah was one of the post-exilic prophets, prophesied after the return from Babylon. The first six chapters bring before us eight visions that were given by the Lord to Zechariah. 2 years have elapsed between the last vision in chapter six and in this seventh chapter. In the seventh chapter, Zechariah has received a message from the Lord. Now, the problem facing the people, if I can condense it for you, was this. Should the traditional fast be celebrated, since it had become perverted into an empty, superstitious formalism? That's exactly what they were coming to Zechariah with, that the Lord was going to respond to. Should the traditional fast be celebrated, since it had become perverted into an empty, superstitious formalism? When you come into the chapter, you can see exactly what they're wanting to discover. In the first four verses, I have written my Bible, the tradition practiced. The tradition practiced. A delegation had come from Jerusalem to ask the priests and the prophets if it was needful for them to continue the annual fast marking the destruction of the temple some 70 years before. A new temple was being built, and they wanted to know, if a new temple is being built, ought we to continue the fast in the fifth month, which reminded us of the destruction of the temple some 70 years ago? You see, the purpose of fasting is for the expression of the state of the heart. And in a sense, the very question they asked would let us see that this fast had become an annual ritual or tradition for the people. That's all it was. We have done this for 70 years. Do we need to continue doing it? It had become a tradition. It had become a ritual. After all, if it had been an expression from the heart, they would not have asked if it was needful to continue its observance. The fast had become for them just an annual tradition. Now, how often do we hear words like this? Do we need to do this? Do we need to do it this way? You know, it's amazing when you float about the world and see all the different expressions in different ways of worship. Some of them you may not be happy with, others you love. But you know, there's a question always keeps coming. Do we need to do this? Do we need to do it this way? Well, you know, we have always done it this way. That's the way we've always done it. Do we need to have such a thing? Well, we have always had one of them. And don't you dare to do anything different. Tradition can become a terrible thing. I was listening to a preacher some years ago, and he gave an illustration, and he was just married, and he said, the preacher was saying to the married man said to his wife, if you're going to cook a ham, how do you do it? Well, she says, I cut a piece off the two ends, I put it in the pot, and I boil it. He says, why do you do that? Well, she says, that's the way my mother does it. So we went to the mother, and he said to his mother-in-law, and he said, if you're going to cook a ham, how do you do it? She says, I cut a piece off each end, I put it in the pot, and I boil it. He says, why do you do it like that? She says, that's the way my mother did it. So he went to the grandmother, and he says to the grandmother, if you're going to cook a ham, how do you do it? She says, I cut the two ends off it, I put it in the pot, and I boil it. He says, tell me, why do you cut the two ends off it? She says, the pot's not big enough. But it was a tradition that was handed down. And you felt you do not alter anything. This is the way we've always done it. And this is the way we'll continue doing it. And the problem was this. There was a tradition that was being practiced in the days of Zechariah. And they wanted to know, do we still need to continue with this ritual? Because it had become a ritual. It started off as a fast, but it had become a ritual which was bringing no spiritual experience with it to the people. The tradition that they practiced. In verses 4 through 7, you see the truth that's presented. You see, the Lord speaks to Zechariah. He says in these verses,
There was no problem with our annual observance in the fifth month. In fact, they not only observed a fast, but they actually did it with the outward signs of mourning. Read it carefully what he does, what he says. He says, not only were they practicing this ritual, but he said, and the Lord speaks in verse 5, he says, when ye fasted and mourned, they were actually practicing this traditional ritual with expressions of mourning on their faces. You know, we're supposed to be a happy people, a joyous people. But oh dear, sometimes you'd think we were in mourning. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes when young people are asking you about starting to preach or preaching, and they talk to you about all their different experiences, and they say to me, well, you know, I have two son-in-laws that both preach, and they'll come home and I'll ask them how they get on, and they'll say, well, hard. No response from the people. No reaction from the people. And I said, man, you'll learn that. It's good to learn that early. Because sometimes when you're looking on the faces, it would discourage you. You would really think they were in mourning instead of rejoicing. Now, I have a secret, I said, and it's this. See these glasses? They're reading glasses. And when I put them right up like that, the whole crowd of you are blurred. Whole crowd of you are blurred. And always try to say this. You'll always find somebody who'll be in touch with the Lord. Fix your eyes on them, because they'll encourage you through the message. 90% will discourage you the way through, but that 10% will encourage you as you're preaching the word of God. And here's what the Lord was doing. The Lord was saying to these people through Zechariah, now they're practicing the tradition of fasting, but they are doing it as if they were mourning instead of rejoicing in what the Lord had done for them. The problem, you see, was this. The problem wasn't with the fact of observing the fast. Read the verses carefully. The problem lay as to the motive behind the fast. It lay to the motive behind the fast. Were they doing it for themselves, or were they doing it for the Lord? Brought out clearly in the chapter. The Lord speaks very clearly about this. He says, when you did eat and when you did drink, did ye eat for yourselves? Did you drink for yourselves? Is it for yourself or for the Lord? Is it to be seen by people, or is it to be seen by the Lord? Is it just a formal expression I go through every week? Or is it because I'm doing it for the Lord? Because I love the Lord. He's presenting this tremendous truth. Who am I doing it for? Is it for man? Or for the Lord? I wonder sometimes how some of us might cope when, maybe in different cultures, in different languages, and see the attitude of different people. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of maybe preaching. I had the privilege of preaching in a conference room with 500 black evangelists and pastors in South Africa. Now, have you ever
are in a service with 500 black evangelists, I'll tell you, you will know that you're not in Lisburn Baptist Church, and you'll know you're not in Ballykeel Baptist Church. Boy, they take over. They really go. Amen, brother. Boys, it dear. Oh, Jesus, help that preacher. Somebody did that in our church to get through out. Now, what I'm trying to get over to you this morning is this. That what the Lord is doing, it's not the doing it. It's who are you doing it for? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it for self-glory? Or are you doing it for His glory? That's the whole message that's coming out from Zechariah. The whole message that's coming out. You see, beloved, according to the prophets, all true religious observances had to come from the heart. And to worship any other way was hypocrisy. We must never lose sight of the fact that while men look in the outward, God looks in the heart. We must never lose sight of the fact that God told Samuel he wanted his obedience more than a sacrifice. God loves obedience. In Isaiah's day, the people thought they were commending themselves to the Lord by their mournful, ritualistic ceremonies. In Isaiah chapter 58, God told Isaiah to shout with a voice like a trumpet and announce the sins of the nation. True worship is more than going to the temple every day. True worship is more than fasting. True worship is more than listening to readings and the preaching. It's more than a religious ritual. Can you see what God is saying? God is saying this people, they were acting very religious, but they had unforgiven sin in their hearts. They were fasting, while at the same time, they were quarreling. And God was saying, fasting and fighting don't go together. Oh, the Lord's strong when He comes back to them. God, He deals with traditionalism and formalism. God wants reality. God wants reality. It is possible. Even on a Sunday morning, we can gather in the house of God. It is possible that we can listen to the Word of God. We can hear the voice of God. We can be going through all the ritual motions. But if it has no effect on our lives, what benefit is it? It's not the outward, it's the inward. I've been honest, I opened my soul to you this morning. I open my soul to you. You know, so often we find on people going from one conference to another conference to another conference, and there's nothing wrong with going to these conferences. It's good. And they'll tell you whether the preacher's good or bad. They'll tell you whether the preacher's sound or unsound. But the preaching makes absolutely no difference in their lives, because they don't apply it. Don't apply it. Robert G. Lee was a powerful preacher in the United States. He preached in Bellevue Baptist. Some of you may see Adrian Rogers or hear him on the radio from time to time from Bellevue Baptist in Memphis. It's a massive big church there. Before him was a boy called Robert Lee. He was a fearless character. And he was preaching at a conference one day, and the boy before him was a real liberal. And Lee got up to preach, and when he stood up to preach, he said, "I never thought God would do it again." And everybody wondered why. He says, I never thought God would speak through an ass again. That's what he thought of his liberal preaching. Beloved, you see what God's doing. God's saying all this can become a tradition. All this can become formal. I'm not coming from the heart at all. For who are you doing it? You can be gathered with unconfessed sin in your heart. In fact, they had fasted. They had fasted. But notice the chapter. God had not responded. God had not responded. God had not responded, and so they're seeking, why have we fasted and you've not seen? Why are we going to this trouble if what we're doing doesn't work? So you see the tradition practiced in the first four verses. You see the truth presented in verses 4 through 7, and you can see the tragedy that's pictured in verses 8 through 14. Zechariah reminds them of how their fathers practiced their religion. But they failed to hear God's word. The powerful, powerful statement that the Lord's saying. You see, your fathers practiced this religion. And although they practiced their religion, they failed to hear God's word. They failed to hear God's word. They hardened their hearts, he said, and they brought God's wrath upon them, namely the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem was the result. Failing to hear God's word. We had another preacher, the president of the International Congress on Revival, Dr. Bill Stafford, another dynamic preacher. And he was saying one night from her pulpit, he was preaching in a certain church in the United States, and he's a powerful man for saying amen. And he said the woman came to him after the meeting and she says, Dr. Stafford, do you realize that you said amen 22 times in the service tonight? He said to her, dear, what did I say before it? She says, I can't remember. What did I say after it? I can't remember. Well, he says, it's a good job I said amen 22 times or you'd remember nothing I said tonight. Now, what the Lord is saying is this. You're going through all this because this is the way you've always done it. Do you not realize your fathers wouldn't even hear the word of God? They were going through the ritual, but they wouldn't listen to the word of God. They were fasting, but they wouldn't listen to the word of God. They failed to respond. And then when he comes down to the 13th verse, he tells us that they actually cried, but God would not hear. God would not hear. They were at all the gatherings for worship. They practiced all the fast. They put on all the religious dress. They recited all the prayers. But it was all a tradition and not from the heart of God at all. I wonder sometimes, is this why we never get response to some of those prayers we talk about? Is God's ear closed? Because what we're merely doing is playing Christian rather than practicing Christian. Praying and practicing. Beloved brethren and sisters, the truth of God's word won't change. It won't change. But changing circumstances reveal new principles and new applications of that word. It is possible to honor God with your lips, to follow rules taught by men, while all the time your heart could be cold and far away. to those people, Jesus accused them of being hypocrites, play actors, and phonies. Adherence to tradition can lead to hypocrisy and turn religion into play acting. Let me finish it. Beyond the clock. You're all right. That's when I usually put the glasses up so I can't see it. But the old slogan of the Youth for Christ in its former days was this: we must be geared to the times while being anchored to the rock. We must be geared to the times while being anchored to the rock. Let me ask you a question. The question I started with is the one I conclude with. Is your faith real? Or are you simply going through and the motions without having inner spiritual experience with the Lord? May God challenge us from His word and lead us onto higher ground with Himself.